Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Who is Quincy Adams? Quincy Adams, Quincy, Quincy. I don't know who Quincy Adams was, and I can't be bothered looking it up, so I will not. I'll just go on not knowing who Quincy Adams was, who he was, who was Quincy, Quincy. Hello, and welcome to Two in the Think Tank.
The podcast,
yes,
that me and Andy Matthews do. I'm Alistair George William Charlie Virgil, and in this podcast we attempt.
Sorry. Do you want to start again? It's just you said me and Andy Matthews,
yeah,
and you meant Andy Matthews and I.
You know what? I do want to start again, but
from episode one and with a different podcast partner.
Yep, and it's going to be called fucking. On mic.
This is the thing I've wondered. Yeah. Are there any pornographic podcasts? Ooh. Just purely the grunts and slaps and, you know,
sure.
Various sort of liquidy noises.
Well, I mean, and you'd also get a bit of behind the scenes, I imagine. Mm. You know that thing where they do, where they turn on the mic as you're walking in the room?
Yeah. Just a little bit of setup kind of stuff.
Yeah, just so that people are like, hey, how are you? You actually hear them meeting, you know? Yep. They go, I guess we're going to be working together. We're going to be doing a scene.
Welcome to the garage.
Yeah. here's the camping mat.
I actually call this the scat ranch.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's audio scat porn. By Mark Maron. What about this?
Right. Audio smell-o-vision scat porn.
Okay. like back when, remember when they used to do all like in radio plays,
yes,
and stuff, and they would have the Foley artists who could do all the sound effects,
yep,
just with, you know, a lettuce and sure. A hammer.
Yeah.
And a little door.
Beating their chest. Yeah. A little bell.
That. Mm. But before when it was radio pornography.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
And we get a tour of the BBC pornography studios.
Sure.
See, state pornography. I'm jumping around.
It's okay. Well, I mean, it's still the same idea. It's still the same idea.
Still the same
BBC's
idea.
BBC's doing it. It is state.
So exactly. Okay. So we go back to the early days of the BBC, and the BBC actually had a pornography wing.
It's that sort of idea where a kid, you know, where a parent is like raising a kid, and they say, "Well, I'd rather they drink with us than they're out there experimenting with a bunch of 15-year-olds," right? Same thing with the state. They say, well, I'd rather that we made it.
Yes.
So that we can make it properly.
Properly.
And you know what? I think there's still an argument for it.
Yeah. And it can be educational.
Mm-hmm. It's educational.
It can be informative. It can...
have real people.
Mm.
You know?
Is that what the state's interested in?
Well, I think so. No, but I think, I mean...
In the early days, everyone would be putting on a British accent. I mean, I realize it's the BBC. They're probably... already have one, but they'll be putting on a different one.
Right. So like, you know, one from sort of the regions, the more rural accents.
Yeah.
Oh, this is fine, isn't it? You know,
and so on.
And other ones.
Yeah.
What a fine vagina you have there.
A fine vagina. I think you got to write this down, Alistair. I think that's a fully formed sketch.
Oh, yeah, of course. But I think that it's not only a sketch, it's a great... political idea.
Yeah, you know, it this could be what we need to get us out the other side of this thing.
Well, you know, yeah, this is the first official I guess, isolation app, even though we're still at work, but we just got the email saying that we're going to start working
from home.
From home as of Thursday.
But instead, we've come here to do things that we would normally do at home in the workplace.
In the workplace. So I don't know. We're a bit confused right now. But stay at home, all
of you. So working from home, and I guess I sleep at work, I?
Oh, okay.
Where do I cry? Where do I wash myself?
I guess I'll cry on the...
On the train?
On the trains. I know changed it. Some things remain the same.
What kind of a situation, a global scenario, would lead to homing from work? You know, like, it's a thing that you often see depicted in a sitcom or something like that when somebody's bit of trouble in paradise, you know, and somebody comes in early and finds that somebody else is sort of bathing themselves in the kitchenette sink or has a rolled up sleeping bag on top of the photocopier. And I'm just wondering what kind of a global scenario would require us all to start doing that.
Sure. And because I don't have an idea for that just yet, I just want to give you the line. It's the opposite of trouble in paradise.
Yes.
Utopia in hell.
I think that's a great. Okay, well, let's drill into that. What leads to that being said? Okay, let's put it this way, right? You could have a perfect home life.
Yeah,
everything could be great at home.
Yeah,
but for some reason,
you have to.
Your work is so good that you have such a beautiful workplace that it's actually even preferable to being at home in your perfect home life, right? And so you move into your workplace and you sleep. It's the only place you can get a decent night's sleep ever since you tried it the first time.
Yeah, but wait. So you said life is at home is so good.
Life at home is amazing. And life at home is paradise.
Life at work is great.
Life at work is even better.
Okay.
So, because if it's trouble in paradise, presumably the home life is paradise.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And by contrast, work would be hell.
That's.
I mean, that's a leap. I've made a leap.
Look, yeah.
You're not willing to go with me on.
My problem is because both places are so good.
Yeah.
But I think in the utopia in hell, your home life doesn't need to be good. But it can be good.
Mm.
But what it needs to be is that it's your other thing. Let's say your work life needs to be really bad. So say...
Work life needs to be really bad.
So let's say like... because I guess for you, I guess because you're doing the flip where it has to be at home.
Yeah.
And I guess that does make sense as well. But I guess things could be unbelievably bad at home.
Mm.
You know, say... you and your wife are not getting along. And let's say there's acid leaks from the roof. It's dissolving a lot of the flesh off of your off of your bones. And so suddenly you have like a lot of dry, exposed bone.
Which started first, do you think?
Right?
which was a chicken and egg scenario? Do you think things were bad with your wife before the acid started leaking and dissolving?
You know when
your
there's
flesh?
Like a little thing wrong with the house and somebody asks you to do it and then you don't get on top of it straight away and it kind of gets worse? And that puts a little bit of strain in your relationship. You know when you get to the point where the acid's worn through a lot of the muscle on your bone and you've got dry, exposed bone?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of that, right?
I got to say, at least the bone is dry. I think if it was wet, I'd be more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with being a full skeleton. I think it's the...
skenlington.
I think it's the intermediate steps between now... Yeah. My full flesh, wet body, and the beautifully dry, clean skeleton. That's all the unpleasantness. I think those two extremes are fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's having flesh that's been sort of falling away or severed through just being corroded away, and then that exposed flesh. I guess like ants. Figure out that they can come and eat your flesh while you sleep.
And you're like, look, I appreciate this. This is getting me closer to becoming the full skeleton. But...
you know, I've got a baby that's going to be born in July.
Yeah.
You know, I think Skellington is definitely now
one of the
names? Top 10.
Top 10.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I think that works for both a boy or a girl.
I'm not sure if I'm ripping that off of Jackson Bailey. I think he might say Skellington.
Does he say?
Or maybe I'm thinking of Richard Herring on his podcast, who refers to Frankensteins.
Well, either way, they're both great references. Yeah.
Thanks.
So the flesh is happening. Yeah. The flesh is being falling. There's real trouble between you and your partner.
Mm-hmm.
But you're out
and
about, you know, despite the very egregious wounds, you're out with your partner, out having a sort of a really nice Alfredo.
Beautiful.
Beautiful fresh Alfredo with your beloved. And
this is the wife that I don't get along with.
The wife you don't get along with because of the trouble at house.
Yeah.
You know, at home. And then, but you're out. There's just an Italian place around the corner that does an Alfredo.
Mm.
And your neighbor walks by in the restaurant. He's picking up a takeaway instead of another white sauce.
I'm just amazed at this relationship that these people have where they've obviously got the disposable income to go out and buy Alfredos.
Yeah.
They have this terrible problem at home. They don't get along, but they're still making time to have date nights.
Well, you have to. You have to. This could be an attempt to fix things.
Yeah.
You know, not the roof.
Not the roof, obviously. But got to fix the relationship before we can fix the acid.
There's a chance that the guy, you say, whoever it is in this sketch,
yeah,
he does every day, all day, every day for his job is fix roofs that are leaking acid.
Yeah, he's like a chef who doesn't want to cook when he gets home.
Yeah, exactly. And so, this guy's similar in that he doesn't want to cook when he gets home. Yes. And so they're out having this beautiful Alfredo, and the neighbor's walking in, and he's getting a carbonara gnocchi.
Mm.
Right, he's gone for the gnocchi. It's you know, it's always a weird choice on there, but he's gone for the carbonara gnocchi, and he's waiting at the counter there. He's ordered, and he's just waiting. He looks across. There's a table for two that's there. It's you and your wife.
Mm.
And he sees you, knowing very well what's going on. He hears the fights every day.
Okay.
And he goes,
why haven't you done something about the acid?
No. And then he sees you at the table, and he goes, utopia in hell.
Perfect.
Yeah,
it's a perfect scene.
Yeah.
Write down utopia in hell, Alistair, and I am going to investigate further the full Skellington scenario.
Sure.
Because I want to know why it is that the two extremes are fine, right? Because you know what I also wouldn't be okay with.
I wouldn't be okay with
a fully non-decaying flesh body that somehow didn't have any bones. I think I'd be unhappy about that as well.
But have you ever seen an octopus try to get, you know, escape from a boat?
You know what? That's pretty good. And if I was to try to escape from a boat,
I could
slither my boneless.
It's because of the lack of bones that they can get through quite small holes. And
yeah,
things.
But they've. I tell you an advantage that the octopus has.
Yeah.
It's the millions of years of evolution
to
thrive in exactly that boneless scenario. Whereas I feel like were I to just tomorrow wake up with no bones, would find that the learning curve was too steep and I wouldn't be able to get up that or indeed any other incline. Because I just don't know how to operate the muscles required to flip my floppy tentacles.
But I think it's a lot of the same principles. And I think, Andy, that if you were to find yourself boneless, I think you would discover a lot about your own adaptability.
And how little of it I have.
And how, you know, how many psychological restraints you put on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're faced with an option of should I go boneless or not, you always say no because you don't realize how powerful you are inside.
You know what? It wasn't until I was totally boneless that I finally grew a spine.
Exactly. I mean, look, we have an ending. And that's, you know, it's an out.
And if you do remove all the bones from an arm or a leg, or a hand or whatever, does it then become a tentacle? Like, is there any definitional, taxonomical difference then between a boneless flopping arm tube and a tentacle? I don't think you could argue didn't have tentacles.
I mean, they certainly evolved separately, and one of them evolved separately as an arm and then had its bones ripped out.
Yes. So but let's take it back to the aliens arriving on the planet.
Yeah, absolutely.
That classic philosophical argument.
Especially if you were like, you've discovered that you haven't been able to travel over land as well as I'm predicting. Right? And you somehow...
You always believe in me. This is my problem with you, Alistair. You always think I'm capable of these physical things.
It does, it does cause quite a quite a problem in your life, I see. So let's
see. It was probably you that talked me into giving up all my bones in the first place.
Well, it was because I thought that they were holding you back. And let's say
turns out they were holding me up.
They were holding you up is what they were actually doing. And I was looking at it at a right angle.
I was lying down.
I was sort of on a couch with my head to the that's looking the right way. Anyway. You were trying to travel over land, maybe just even out the front door.
Flopping and moaning.
Flopping and whatever. Torrential rain began.
Yeah.
You got dragged into the gutter. You got pulled into the ocean.
Yes, down to sort of the foreshore. Out I come, out foreshore. Of a stormwater drain.
Exactly.
In a rocky area.
Right. And then aliens come down, and there you are floating on top of the water. Like that, boneless. Probably air where there used to be bones, right? So that's why you're so buoyant.
I got a bit of buoyancy. I think I'd be buoyant anyway. In fact, I think if anything, if you removed my bones, I'd be more buoyant than I currently am now. I reckon they're one of the more dense parts of the human body.
You've gone from buoyant to buoyant.
God, that...
That worked, didn't
it? That works really well.
And then an alien comes down, they would be like, absolutely, this is a tentacle. We just haven't figured out exactly how.
An octopus...
Yeah.
Swims up next to me.
Yeah, is eating your face.
The alien who's only been learned about humanity from watching Simpsons that's been sent out into space via radio waves. And so looks at me and says, "I'm seeing double here, four tentacled creatures."
Yeah.
Quoting what's their favorite show.
And he came here because he watched The Simpsons and he saw that our vision of aliens were tentacled aliens. And so he goes, oh, well, this must be where we're supposed to go.
So he's a tentacled alien?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, he's also tentacled. That's why he comes here and all he cares about is tentacles.
They should really be called octicles, shouldn't they?
Well, no, there's only one of them, I think.
Tentacles?
When you refer to one tentacle, you're referring to one. So if you refer to it as an octicle...
It would be a monocle.
That's right.
But that was already taken.
Exactly. Now, before I took you away by saying utopia in hell, you were heading down a path.
Yeah, probably. But don't worry about it. I won't be able to get back there.
No.
And I don't want to. Have you written down anything about this tentacle business?
Or boneless moment of revelation.
Okay, yeah, but, boneless revelation.
But that was more about you discovering about yourself.
Yeah,
you
know, that I think that's fine. I just had a little...
little glimmer. Little flash.
Yeah, a little flash.
The brain works. While you're thinking, I'll talk about how I think the brain works. You see, sometimes it just... you know, it's incredible. You have this inner eye that is separate from the outer eyes. We don't listen. You got to be thinking, or maybe
I've worked out what it is already.
Okay, well then, you know, there you go. I'll let people
imagine how great
imagine
that riff
how
could
great
have been.
How great the inner eye is. Yeah. Maybe they can picture it in some way.
Well, so this is all I was going to say, right, was I picture, you know, the tallest buildings in the city. The penthouse is the highest building. It's the highest room. Apartment.
Yeah.
And the most expensive, right? The most valuable, that's that penthouse. That's what I think, yeah. Right. But you can actually get higher than the penthouse.
That's true.
If you're willing to get up on the roof, in the exposed area up there, the and pitch con. A tent.
That's true, yeah.
And by that I mean get a stiffy. No, okay, so pitch a tent, right? But it'd be hard to argue that you have more, you are sort of richer than the person in the penthouse below you.
Yeah.
But I think that there is this sort of potential, let's picture this, right? It's a group of homeless people.
Yeah.
Homeless comedy. I think it's time it's finally come again.
I think right now, with a pandemic, if you want to place it in the time of a pandemic.
Oh, contemporary.
It's going to be so many more homeless people that people will now look at the homeless and just see themselves in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know?
So
it's a perfect time to do homeless comedy.
So what I'm looking at here is a sort of a homeless billionaire type scenario. Or it's a cabal of homeless people.
Okay.
Peoples who choose to live in the most luxurious way possible, available to somebody who owns nothing. Sure. And so they do, you know, take their swag or whatever it is to the top of the tallest building, and they have a tent house, penthouse just up there on the top, you know, the beautiful views and that sort of thing. And they only eat scraps from the most expensive restaurants, or, the rotten caviar or whatever it may be, you know.
Just the offcuts of the greatest, rejected by the greatest chefs.
Yeah, exactly.
The plates that had to be thrown out from one of the greatest restaurants.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Maybe because somebody, a pea was out of place.
A pea, just one misplaced pea. Yeah. So what do you think? Is that a sketch in some way?
Well, there's a few things in there. Yeah. So I think, it was a flurry of ideas for me. You know, when you said a homeless billionaire, you made me think of a person who just has a billion homeless people.
Yeah, like if somebody who says, if true riches are friends, then just call me the richest man in the world. That's this is right. Somebody who says, if true riches are homeless people.
And call me.
Call me Jeff Bezos.
But the real addressing your real idea here is that
let's get to what this is really about.
What I think would be great is in this idea is the focus for me right now.
Mm.
The main focus is
tell me
how pissed off the guy who owns the penthouse would be. That there's somebody who's above them and that he considers them below him.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think that this person is homeless and that they've pitched a tent on top and then they get the highest apartment in the house, in the place.
And then he makes an enemy of the penthouse guy below him.
Absolutely. Because
comes out wearing stilts or something like that.
Because often some of these places, apartment buildings have like a barbecue on the roof.
Mm.
And to think about the penthouse, it's actually one of the worst places to be, where you have one of those thin roofs where everybody's stomping around and having parties.
You think they got a thin roof? You think it's real thin and you could hear the people barbecuing? Do you think the smell of the sausages sort of comes down?
I've never seen anybody properly build a roof. I think they give up once they get to that high up. They go, it doesn't have to support that much weight, blah, blah, blah. We'll put a whole bunch of really
crackly...
What's going
to be coming down on this?
A lot of real poppy kind of tin stuff. Anyway.
The rain hasn't fallen as fast. I won't be going as fast up this high.
Exactly. But I think that this homeless guy, and also I've called this squatters on the roof. That this guy has this life where he does kind of, he dared go to the top of this roof because he believes in having the best.
Mm.
You know, probably, I mean, he was probably very windy up there, and it's actually really unpleasant.
It would be hell. It would be so cold that you'd be in amongst the clouds a lot of the time.
But he stole
the
one of
the building sways.
Yeah, and he stole one of the, or he found one of the best tents, one of those kind of tents that you would use on Everest, you know, at base camp.
Oh, the best.
You know, one of those, like, you know, they're almost like a geodesic dome.
He's up there hammering the pegs into the concrete.
Into the concrete, to that thin roof.
They're poking through. Yeah. It's just like a single layer of plasterboard.
Yeah. And the people who run the building, they won't do anything about it for some reason.
Mm.
Maybe it's the land,
body corporate.
It's the body corporate's daughter's boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. He keeps saying he's gonna do something about it, and then he doesn't.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You know, Al McPherson was the body.
Yeah.
Who do you think is the body corporate?
Let's see. There's somebody who looks like a real bureaucroc. I said bureaucroc, but
bureaucroc.
That's not what I meant.
Yeah, right. Bureaucrat, of course, from the French bureau.
Yeah, bureau, meaning desk.
Desk.
Yeah.
And crat.
And bureau, I think it can also mean office.
Right.
And krat, very, I guess it makes you start making you think that bureaucrat might be a German word.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe.
Krat. Krat is another, it's another great single little word.
It'd probably be French and kra, and then you wouldn't pronounce the T.
Hmm.
Bureaucrat? I don't know.
It was good though.
That was
I love to analyze French words with you.
Yeah, no, me too.
start a secondary podcast. Analyze French.
French with a failing Frenchie.
A failing Frenchie.
Yeah. Fading Frenchie.
A fading Frenchie, yes. We try and wring the last little bits of French out of you like one would a tube of toothpaste. God, I had such a toothpaste triumph recently. Found this old tube of toothpaste at the back of the cupboard in the bathroom.
How old?
I don't know, but it had a really strange flavor. One that I'm like, don't even know if this was like a flavor that they used to use and they've stopped using, or a flavor that has just gone off.
Did you bring it, or was it just from a previous owner of the house?
I think we brought it, but I think it was one of those ones that has just been carried around with you from house to house when you move. It was an Oral-B tube with a screw cap, you know. Like
that's
the
old.
Dark ages.
Wow, screw.
Right? Yeah. And you know, it had been sitting there for ages, and I'm like, I am going to finish this tube of toothpaste.
Wow.
And I went at it hard.
Yeah.
You know, for
you've
maybe...
Been,
a,
have you been sort of double spreading?
Double squirting. Yeah.
Nice.
Both ends of the toothbrush, that kind of thing, all the way down. And
put the whole toothbrush in your mouth?
I do. Yeah. And I just finished it off yesterday. Got the last little dregs out of it.
You emptied it like you would empty a normal one?
Yeah.
You know, like you go until there's nothing.
Yeah, because I wasn't going to like go this old tube and then give up when there was still a little bit in there.
Sure.
I got every remaining molecule.
Was there any aspect of the tubing that was kind of yellowed?
No. It wasn't perished in any way.
Okay, yeah.
So, but
maybe it was a tube of toothpaste you found on the ground.
It really could have been.
Yeah.
Do you ever eat anything you find on the ground? I walked past a whole box of muesli yesterday.
Really?
And I was like, man, the shelves are empty right now.
Yeah.
We cannot get Weet-Bix for our boys. Can't get oats.
Really?
And I was like, I'm going to get this.
Mm. Maybe pick them up while you're in the city.
Well, if I see it on the ground, sure.
No, but I mean, you could walk, you know, 200-300 meters away.
So like
from
a
here.
Civilized supermarket. Do you reckon there'd be some on the shelf?
A lot of the shelves are getting restacked again.
Oh, good.
A lot of the rush is coming.
So we got through it. That was our Second World War.
Well, you know, Andy, I think there's still...
God, I don't know what all the fuss was about.
Yeah, no, I think there's a bit more, but I think we've gotten through the initial rush. Although, you know, there's more talk of more lockdowns now, so we are in the office in utopia in hell. We love our jobs, by the way.
Yeah, we do.
It's not hell.
This was what I was going to propose before when I was going to go on that rant when you were talking about utopia in hell. Right, it is. You know how people talk about, it never comes home because he's real married to his work or something like that. What if your work did really go out of its way to seduce you?
Yeah, my work is my girlfriend.
Yeah, well, it wasn't initially, and I tried to resist, but then it was like it was always bringing me treats and. Yeah. Making it real sexy in there. Oh,
my work knows what I like. It'll get me with baked goods. Bringing me treats.
Just dim lighting, a lot of tassels. Workplace just sort of gets sexier and more sensual every day.
They start putting up hooks, and then the hooks start wearing little golden shields with tassels on them. Mm. And then they sort of put on the air con so that those tassels spin
around.
Yeah, and then there's like Lamingtons, which for anybody who's not Australian is just
a square
sponge cake
lump.
Dipped in sort of something that looks like chocolate but isn't, and then covered in coconut.
Sometimes it has jam in the middle. Well, it's a sort of a chocolatey icing, right, of some kind, but it's very thin.
It's very thin, and it almost seems like it's, yeah, maybe it is chocolatey, but it never hardens. It's never like You know, I think it's like a thin chocolate liquid.
Yeah, it doesn't ever harden, does it? It's always kind of... You'd think it would harden eventually.
If it was really chocolate. That's why it could be like a cocoa liquid.
No, but I mean, well, it's icing, you know.
Is it icing?
With some kind of icing. Yeah, yeah. It's sweet. It's got chocolate in it. It's a glaze. Call it a glaze.
But it doesn't chocolate really... I guess because the sponge is so porous that it... You know, it deeply envelops it, and there's not enough left on the outside because it's not shiny.
No, but then it is also covered in coconut. But what I'm trying to work out is why doesn't the sponge, you know, do what it says on the label and suck away that moisture from that outer layer? I still think that should be drier than it is, though. That icing that remains moist, it should be drier.
Well, I think it is. I think it's as dry as it can. I think it spreads it as far away from the edge as it can.
Right,
as
but
the
you think that it's moist the whole way through. So.
I think if the sponge is itself moist, you know, it's like that's a difference between a sponge and a sponge. Is that one sponge, you sell it dry so that it can absorb the maximum amount of liquid, and the other one, you're still... You know, even though it has some sponge-like qualities, you still also want it to be a cake and have some moistness.
Right.
Because you don't want it to absorb all the moisture from your mouth.
How good is that sort of liquid that, you know, say you've been using a kitchen sponge for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of liquid that you're wringing out of it, that it's always kind of slightly slimy. You know, that whatever you're getting out of it after that 4 or 5 month barrier, that's the nectar of the gods, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's kind of, I guess it's just the one step up from garbage water.
Yeah, it's bench water.
Man, we're not spending any more time, and we're not spending any time away from home other than right now, and I've managed to miss 2 garbage pickups.
Oh, no, Alistair, like in a row?
In a row.
That is,
and we're on those tiny bins now.
That is trouble in hell. That is.
That is. That is acid falling on your flesh, and
the devil aren't getting on anymore. Yeah.
So it's no good. I think we got to go to three words from a listener.
Nothing could please me more.
As you know, there are angels, Andy. Mm. Angels. On earth here that have possibly they've fallen from heaven, but they could be natural born angels who invest in our Patreon to support us, either $3 in order so that they can suggest 3 words for a sketch, or $8 so they can get all the bonus things, you know, all the Sci-Fi Try Guys and the all the teleport episodes where we worked.
Which we got to upload a whole lot for this month, by the way.
I think we did one at the beginning of this month.
I think we did, and I think I lost it.
No, I think you uploaded it. Did you lose it?
I can check, but I
thought I remember seeing it. But anyway.
Oh, God. Yeah. I feel real bad.
No, I think you already uploaded
Maybe
it.
Maybe I uploaded it.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd make me feel better, actually.
And so today, three words from a listener. Is from listener Adam Tregear.
Adam.
Hello, Adam.
Tregear.
Hello.
Tregear, I always think of a hiking company. You know, it's sort of like Trek gear. I think of like a really well-made backpack when I hear your name, Adam.
Sure. And when I hear your name, I just hear you. You know, I hear who you really are. You know, and I feel like I know you. Because
you know
I
that you are heard.
You are heard. And I'm definitely hearing these words right here. Andy, do you want to guess? I think I've actually mentioned them just so that I could check that they haven't been said already.
But as you know, I forget everything
instantly.
And
as you know, we may have both forgotten and already done these words.
Parmesan?
No. They're all one-syllable words.
Oh, was one of them guts?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Guts.
Gym.
Mm.
Guts. Ads.
Gym. Guts. Ads. Well, you know what this is?
What?
Right. This is, you go, you as a person who wants to improve your body.
Which right? I do.
You know, you got a significant gut, potentially.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever you are.
Like as in right. like a beautiful mm. paunch.
Mm, exactly. And you know what that is in a gym? You go along to a gym.
J-I-M.
Oh, well, I'm talking about G-Y-M.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going along to the gym.
Yeah.
Right. And what you have is a bit of real estate that is going to have a lot of eyes on it. Right. There's a lot of fit people at the gym.
Yeah.
You go there, nice crop top, you get your gut out.
Yeah.
They're all going to be looking at that gut.
Yeah.
And what is that? Those eyeballs, that's an opportunity to monetize. So if I were a marketing company advertising a sort of a new kind of muscle.
Yeah.
Liquid or something like
a new type of muscle.
A new type of muscle. We've discovered a new muscle on the human body.
Yeah.
Right? And we'll tell you how to develop
it. How to bulk it up.
Yeah. It's there. It's tiny. But we're going to help you to get the most out of it. And where am I going to advertise? The place where people who are fit at the gym are going to be looking the most. It's the exposed belly of a man who's going to be sweating and grunting a lot. Right?
Yeah.
And attracting a lot of attention. But while those people are looking at him, what do they see? Plastered across that stomach, you know, the hyperdeltoid company is marketing their Enhance Your Hyperdeltoid.
Oh, yeah.
12-week,
it seems like a brilliant 18-video idea.
Campaign.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, yeah, of course. I mean, like, I guess along the gut is a good way to advertise like that.
And that's how you're going to
fund. What's a hyperdeltoid?
It's the new muscle that I invented.
Okay, right,
or discovered.
Oh, okay. And so they're advertising a new muscle on a gut in gyms.
Which
is very targeted.
Yeah.
They're going to be looking at a person with a gut to judge them.
Mm.
And then they're going to be finding out about ways to improve themselves.
Mm.
So they're taking a negative thing that they're doing with somebody else,
absolutely.
And it's turning into a positive thing.
It's kind of like a clickbait, you know? It's like how you would see an article and you would share it because it makes you so angry.
Sure.
Right?
Sure, if you
are a judgmental kind of person,
yeah.
judging somebody's body,
yeah.
that's going to get your attention. And,
yeah.
you know?
You could sell your book on how to better judge people's bodies.
There you go.
You know, in a more cruel and evil way as well. Because I think if you were to have a book on there that you were selling that was about like body positivity, people would then look away because they would be like, well, fuck you.
Mm.
You know, you've really politicized.
Don't you judge my judging.
Yeah, you've politicized your gut now.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas now you're using your gut
to pander to their
to their natural instincts.
Yeah, and that's when you sell. You don't make money by writing things that people are going to disagree with on your gut.
Exactly.
When you cash in and get the big bucks
is
when you
preach to the choir.
Exactly. It's when you give those eyeballs what, you know, the sockets that they want.
Mm-hmm. Because an eyeball socket, let's not forget, right, there can be two halves to a socket. Right? There's the socket that the eyeball sits in, and then there's the socket, the outer socket, that the eyeball fits into when it sees something that it wants to look at so much that it just
jumps into it.
Just clicks in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every eyeball is a hermit crab.
Mm. Oh no. or like an electron.
I mean, but
right, that could be ripped off you by a more electronegative ion.
But I think that's
I've
also
got my eye on you.
I've got my eye on you. I think that's why people with no eyes in their sockets are so scary, is because you feel like if you get too close to them, they might take your eyeballs.
Yeah, correct.
Like your eyes might see them, and it's going to be hard for them not to.
Yeah. If your eyes did keep growing over the course of your life, and when they get too big for your head, they do pop out. Nah, I knew you'd have it.
Yeah.
They roll along the ground collecting lint and all sorts of disgusting stuff, but then they crawl up, they roll up the body of a person with empty eye sockets, their tongue darts out, licks off the lint and that sort of thing, and then they roll up into
that's what the eyelid's for. The eyelid is there to just wipe
smear off that outer dusty layer.
And talking about, you know, a space of the body doing a good job of advertising and pandering to exactly the people who are going to be looking at it. The eyes are looking at this beautiful empty real estate, possibly grayed in some way. I don't know why I feel like these empty sockets are grayed and dry.
Yeah.
But I guess with
that makes it seem less appealing.
I know, but I think to an eyeball, you know that you got to, it's BYO moisture.
Yeah, and they look at it as probably as a bit of a fixer-upper.
Exactly. They see it's a place with a bit more space, which I think for an eye socket would actually be bad.
Yeah.
To be able
rattle around
and fall out. But I guess, you know, you're thinking about, you know that there's that bungee cord behind you that plugs into the brain.
Mm. Oh, God. I read an article about a woman who was high on ice. It was from her point of view. She was writing it. She about how when she had been a massive ice addict, she'd ripped out her own eyeballs. And the description of what it felt like to pull out your own eyeballs is a thing that comes into my mind most days.
Wow.
It's a really great thing to just have in your brain, so just able to bubble to the surface.
Completely blind?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She got her life back on track somehow.
Yeah.
God. And yeah.
It's amazing.
I'm sure you could find it if you wanted to look it up and then share my pain of like what it's like to know that and to think about that,
that is,
really regularly.
That does feel
intense. It was a Daily Mail article.
Man.
But, you know, at least it's not one of my own regrets that I'm thinking about. Man, if I maybe get enough horrible thoughts like that into my head, I can displace all my regrets. And then they, like little hermit crabs, can go out and find somebody else's mind to nestle in.
Well, that's nice. Well, a problem shared is a problem halved, or at least doubled.
Yeah.
Well, I think, Andy, I think that we've managed to do it. So I think I'm going to have to take us through the sketch ideas for today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a chance that this might be the last one that we do in the same room together for a while.
Maybe.
We may have to start trying to find ways of doing this.
Maybe it's the last one we ever do. Do you want to end the podcast now?
Oh, I don't think I'm ready to officially call it.
All right.
Obviously, I'm really looking forward to the trudgery of episode 300, and so I have to at least get us there. Here's our the sketch ideas for today. State porn. See, that's porn that the state makes. Mm-hmm. Let's say the BBC.
Which, you know, as we all know, stands for the Big British Corporation.
Then we've got Utopia in Hell. It's that scenario where your life isn't going good at home with your partner and with your house and the way that it's dripping acid on you. Boneless moment of revelation. Andy loses all his bones, doesn't think that he'll be able to move around on land without his bones. He discovers that he can, thanks to my belief in him and my pushing him towards removing all his bones.
I love that this is an autobiographical, speculative autobiography.
And that he... It's not until he had lost his bones that he realized that he actually grew a spine. You know, that kind of idea.
I probably... If there were a way to get them out without without killing me, and there was a market for bones, probably could handle having a couple less vertebrae.
Yeah? So you could suck your own butthole.
Yes.
Then we got Squatter on the Roof. That's... That's the person who lives in the penthouse thinking that they've got the highest apartment. But
No.
This squatter,
not this
homeless
jolly
person,
swag man.
He's not a homeless person. He's got a tent. So
he's not homeless. He's tent rich.
Yeah, that's right. He's tentful. Riz tentful. Anyway, that's nothing. No, I thought it was going to be retentful. Anyway.
That's not any better, Alice.
I know, that's why I made a mistake. That's why this whole thing was a mistake. Guy thought he was going to be on top, but he wasn't. This guy who he sees is beneath him. But then maybe we'll come to learn throughout the sketch that they are equals, even if the other guy has a slightly higher position. That altitude doesn't mean being better than someone else.
And what does?
Length. I guess getting to live in a very expensive place for a smaller amount of money.
Yeah.
That probably makes you better.
In a way, I kind of think that.
Yeah.
I kind of think that if you can get by with less money, you're better.
Yeah, but if you get to live in a more expensive area on less money.
That's even better than that.
Because, I mean, you could get by on less money by living sort of in the desert.
Yeah.
But then you might not be able to get by. But it'd be cost less, though.
What about being a billionaire who's living paycheck to paycheck? Right? You're spending so much money. Yeah, this is probably just describing most entertainers, most really rich people with problems.
Who knows?
You know, you get $1 million at the start of the fortnight, and then you're really hanging out for the next $1 million that comes in.
I got a billion a day coke habit. I guess there'd be ways you could try and find it. You know, you could have somebody. You know, you could have each individual grain of cocaine, delicately placed into your nose by, you know, I guess somebody like, you know, each one of the Lakers or something like that.
Each individual Laker.
Yeah. You've got newly married to your work, some person who wasn't married to their work was seduced by their work. Firstly, into making it their mistress, and then eventually leaving their wife
and marrying.
And then we've got gut ads for new muscle, or you know, a book on how to judge people in a more cruel way, or eye socket ads for eyeballs. But the empty eye socket is itself an ad for the free real estate. That's what you know. That's in the eye socket world. You don't need those real estate signs because the eye knows what it's looking at.
I mean, I wonder if you could get one of your eye, you could two eyes, your two eyes could go off separately into separate heads. It'd be pretty tragic, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, that would be really sad to separate the pair.
Yeah,
and they not only lose a friend, but they also lose a dimension.
Anyway,
unless they go team up with another eye.
Yeah.
I guess they don't really gain anything because the eye itself doesn't see the full image.
Yeah. Well, I think actually probably the two eyes don't even know about the other eye.
Do you think? Because I guess
they can't see each other. Except in a mirror.
But in a world where there's no mirrors.
Yes. Yeah.
And reflection doesn't happen.
In a world with no mirrors, the one-eyed man
is this, his eye feels the same way as all the other eyes because they all think that they're the only eye in the head.
That's right.
Doing all the work.
Except for when they look at other people and see two eyes.
Sure, but even then they might not know.
But maybe they're the only two-eyed person.
Yeah.
And everybody else is a cyclops.
Yeah, okay. In the world of cyclopses, the two-eyed person...
Yeah. Who doesn't have hands so that they can feel that there's two eyes.
There. Yes, very good. No, but it's not a question of whether or not they know. It's whether the eyes know.
Well, let's hope that information can't get to the eyes. Mm. I wonder if the brain can talk to the eyes and tell it things.
Well, I wonder if the hands can talk directly to the eyes without involving the brain, because I think if you were the brain, you'd try and keep it secret.
Yes. That
there are two eyes.
Oh, right. And that the hands can talk directly to the eyes.
I definitely wouldn't want them knowing that. How's this podcast going, by the way?
I think it's getting better. All right. And I think that's the end of the...
Alistair, I love it. I love it. I love to be a part of this.
So good. Today in the shower, I was trying to improvise classical music.
Yesterday on the drive home, I was trying to improvise political speeches. I was just giving it a go to see whether or not if I thought I could make it as a politician.
That's great.
You know, and sort of construct a coherent enough bullshit. I pretended to ask myself questions and then answer them.
But what should we do to better... society. Well.
Yeah. That kind of thing. Anyway, maybe I'll start a new podcast where I just give political
speeches. Improvised political speeches. You just pick a time.
At a topic.
A time, a place, and then a topic.
Mm.
But I think the time and place would kind of dictate the topic.
So like a time and place, like you mean like where I'm giving the speech. Like I could be outside of...
Germany, 1942.
Oh, okay.
You see? I think instead of you have get an idea about what you're going to be talking about, it'd be weird for you to kind of show up and start talking about measles.
Yeah. Although that still would have been relevant, you know? I'm sure not all of Hitler's speeches were about Hitler-type stuff.
There would have been some stuff where he was just addressing, you know... hospital funding.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We are on Twitter. I am at we are at 2inTank. I'm at Alistair TV.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
And you can review us on iTunes. That means a lot. You can support the Patreon.
This is the first episode that we've done since the Comedy Festival got cancelled.
Oh, Comedy Festival got cancelled.
Yeah. So sorry if you came to our show tonight.
Yeah. our show doesn't start until 2 days from now, but it's cancelled.
But in a different reality.
But my solo show, Couldn't Be More Thrilled With Everything, starts tonight.
But it's cancelled.
But it's cancelled. But it could be still going, and if you're hearing this, in a different reality.
Yes.
Yeah.
If this has slipped through a wormhole.
Yeah.
At the moment, the only thing that slips through wormholes is worms. There you go.
And ships.
Yeah, okay. Spaceships.
Vessels.
Enterprises.
But I guess that maybe... maybe worms themselves are actually just very futuristic spaceships.
Today, my son, Finn, looked at me and said, Daddy, how do balloons work? And I thought, I couldn't be more proud. I feel like he's one step closer to asking the big question, how do whales work?
It is. It's very
I said, did you think of that question? Is that your question or did you see that on anything? He said, a snail taught me to ask it. So, I don't know what's going on.
Curiouser and curiouser.
And we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.